We had anybody from out of state. I imagine Judge Berger from Canada. But first of all, since most of you know, this is one man I'm going to introduce. He's from Downriver. He's familiar with everybody, and he's familiar with the land issue. I'd like to introduce Al Grant, who in turn will introduce the rest of the people. Al.
I do am really concerned about 1991, and I hope that you people can give your input tonight, because it is of a great, great concern both to the Canadian Native people and the American Native people. So this is why ICC hired Chief Justice to take a study, which will be coming out in probably late 85. And one of the big concerns that issue at the Alaska Land Claim Settlement Act, it wasn't really as good as we thought it was. There was a lot of bugs in it. There was a lot of problems in it. So Tom had taken all the facts and the data to try to find out if they can correct it for the American Alaskan Native people, and also for the betterment of their settlement in the Canadian side of the country. So I think we should all be happy that they did hire Tom to do this study. He's very familiar with the law pertaining to lands and the law of the land. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Al Kitzler Jr. who set up this thing for this trip. So Al Kitzler, he can in turn introduce the rest of the team. Thank you.
Okay, let's see here. On my right here is Mary Kaswick, and she works for Tom. She travels, you probably might remember her last week. She came here earlier to kind of get things set up for this meeting here tonight. And this is Mike Smith, and he's a volunteer. He's come along on a trip to help us out setting up camp and any other tasks that may come about. And
don't know about any of it.
But we're heading on down. We'll be stopping at a few fish camps on the way down. We're going to Rampart and then on down to Tanana. And over here is Carol Rose. And she's a college professor of law. I don't know what you teach.
Property and lands.
And over here is Jim Seitz, and he's the one who's taping all these meetings and stuff here. And when anybody talks in the microphone here, it'll be taped over here. And there's Bill Hess from Thunder Times, and Tom Alton from the Tanau Chiefs, and he's the editor for the Tanau Chiefs Council, that newsletter, that monthly newsletter. And so I guess for the people that are here for the testify, I'll introduce Tom here, and then Tom will explain maybe a little more in depth exactly what the purpose is and what is ICC, and maybe how is this gonna pertain to the Alaskan Natives and other Aboriginal people throughout the world. Tom? I introduced him, Tom.
Well, thanks, Al. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm here to hold this meeting for the Alaska Native Review Commission. As Al Grant told you, the Inuit Circumpolar Conference asked me to do this, and so did the World Council of Indigenous People. And those two organizations represent the Indians and the Eskimos of just about every country in the world. And they are interested in what happened to your 1971 land claim settlement. They want to know how it worked out, the good points and the bad points. And with that in mind, I've been holding meetings like this all over Alaska for the last 6 months. We've already been to 23 villages and towns to hold meetings like this. And about 450 Alaska Natives and some other Alaskans have testified. And the object is to find out what the impact of the land claim settlement has been here, what difference it's made to you, to find out what your concerns are today. We've heard from people in many of the villages that they are concerned about 1991. As you know, that the land that you received under the settlement is held by your native corporations. And after 1991, the shares in those corporations can be acquired by non-natives. And if enough shares are acquired by non-natives, if non-natives take over a majority of shares after 1991, then they can take over your corporations and your land. So in a lot of the villages, people are really concerned about that. They also have been saying to me, well, why weren't all the children who've been born since 1971 entitled to be shareholders? Why don't they have shares in these corporations? Then people are concerned about sovereignty and self-government, because in some villages they have said, we have to have self-government, we have to have control over our land if we are going to defend our way of life, hunting and fishing and trapping, subsistence and so on. Well, I'm going to be carrying on with these meetings for another 6 months, and then I'm going to write a report, and my report will come out next summer, but it will be based on what you've told me at these meetings. You know, wherever we've gone, a lot of people have said, well, nobody consulted us about ANCSA back in 1971. Nobody came to talk to us about the land claims when the settlement went through back in 1971. So I'm here now so that you can tell me what you think about the land claim settlement and where you want to go from here. Do you want to make sure the land is protected? Do you want to make sure you have the right to sell your shares so you can get some money out of your shares in 1991? How do you want to govern yourselves? By a state-chartered city government, by a traditional council, an IRA, or in some other way? So these are the questions that we've been listening to people discuss, and they are important questions, and I want to know how you feel about them. Everything you say is taken down on tape by Jim Sykes here and then is typed up. And we will send a transcript, we will send a typewritten record of everything said tonight back here to your council and to your village corporation. And when my report comes out next year, I will send a copy to everybody who testifies. Now, with Al Ketzler and Al Grant to make sure we don't get lost or fall into the river, we're going to be traveling by boat down the river to some of the fish camps this week to take testimony from people there. And we're going to wind up at Tanana at the end of the week to have a meeting there. And the object is this: we could have held these meetings in Anchorage and asked Native leaders to come and tell us about ANCSA and what's happening and how Native people in Alaska feel about their land claim settlement. We could have done that in Anchorage, but everybody said to me, look, don't just do this in Anchorage, don't just have hearings in Anchorage, go out to the villages where the Alaska Native people live and find out what they've got to say there. So that's why we've come, and we're glad that that Stevens Village invited us to come here, and we're also glad that you invited us tonight, because we do say thank you, all of those who came with me. We say thank you for the very nice supper that you just let us enjoy with you. We really thought it was delicious, and we really enjoyed it, and thank you very much. Now, we'll carry on tonight for as long as you want, but I know some of you are going to the revival meeting, so you let us know when you think we should adjourn the meeting, and we'll come back again tomorrow morning sometime. But having said that, maybe we could start now, and everybody that wants to speak, maybe you could come up and sit here. You don't have to have anything in writing. You just come and talk into this microphone, if you wouldn't mind, so it goes down on the tape. And after that, if some people don't want to come up here to the microphone, we can take it around to you, and Mary will bring it around to you, just like Donahue. I don't know whether you've seen that television show, but we do that for the people that don't want to come up. But I think we're ready to begin, and perhaps...
I'm tired of feeling now, but
You know.
Your name?
Yes. What?
Just your name for the record.
Okay. My name? This is Kilburn George of the Steams Village. And an old timer. And I didn't want to school. I didn't know education. But I know what's going on last all this time in my life. And I see what is coming all the time, and just too many of us this way and that way, and we just cross over our words and our here and there, and we don't know what to do. That's the best way to do as a this recorder, if I'm going to make a talking. That's the best way I can see in my life is every village and then two person gather up in one place, either Fairbanks or where it is. This way, we don't know what the other village mate talking about at this time when you're going to hear me. You know, that's a hard question. What are we going to do about next generation, next few years? That's the hardest thing that we could talk about. But some of us got right. Some of us got right to protect our land. Some of us really true. Because we're still using it. And our old generation way back there when people using stone axe and bow and arrow, they teach us. That's why we have right to say something about the land. When this was Tonganoxie Chief was started in 1970, I always try to talk to the Anchorage. We had a radio in school. When I started talking like this, somebody shut me off. You talk too long now, we got to go to other place. You know, I was talking about this that time. I say later on, people going to have a trouble over it. Okay, people as of that time when they start 1970, they say when the little kids going to get in. You know what? You know what I would say? I tell you, when you land the States with 120 people, they had two kids going across, be separate to be your land the States, and there were two kids on was born on the boat. The princess was never said this kid is going to be no good. No, sir. So, I tell you what you're going to do, or if you're going to take my words, you have to invite those kids who have been born in 1970 because they're going to be a generation to handle everything what's been going to be a corporation or whatever it's going to be, or the state's going to take the land back away from us. This is two ways. Because this is a hard question you're going to talk about. I'm talking about it. I'm not educated, but I know. Because this almost 20 years is over, and hardly nothing done. We just talk about it. Never straightened out. Some of us, we don't know what's going on. Some of us, we don't know. Because when your people talk in a high language, we don't know, understand. I'm myself, I don't understand. I can stand up for my right, and I can talk to president. I can talk to anybody. I don't care how many people I can talk to. This is the worst that you could use, because the older people that got no, you can stay in your villages. Like I said, first started, I didn't know what you think about this. But that is the best way if you have somebody come in and from every village and have made them on ourselves. They still tape us right now, you'll hear me. But we still don't know what you think in the other villages and all else us here. But we have to go on each side, we have to pull together. We have to bring out one word out of me or one word out of another villages. And these people that come in here, listen to me, they're going to straighten out and they're going to use these words I've spoken to you other villages. And you got to understand. And this is a good, I hope, you can use my words. Okay. The reason why I'm talking like this about those kids was No, it was born in 1970, and we're going on to 1991 talking about it. People don't know what to do now. They're starting stirring up everything. When first started, telling that chief was starting, they didn't know what to do in 20 years' time, they planned. But it didn't work all the way through. It just grind up, just like you grind meat. And some of us, maybe you could use it, but maybe you may get away with it. But me, I didn't know it because I know. I'm an old-timer, and I know when you get through another 20 years after 1971, I guess we're lost because the states is going to take the land back away from us. This is what's going on. Right now, that's what's going on. And I don't care what I say because it's going to be true, because we're losing. Someday, a lot of times I talk against a pipeline. A lot of times I talk against the public. Okay, when the public started, you were going to be pushed over. We're going to have nothing pretty soon. We can't even put in fishnet. We can't even do what we want to do with the fish field. See, all those things is different. Where the people come out when in Alaska, when the first started, when the Russian had this ground, there was not trouble them days, there was nothing. People, white people getting into Yukon River to stick together, and some of us, our mother and father and them was using the people that helped us, old white people that died with us, they buried over here in cemetery. You see how good a long time ago people treated one another. Because people was good, that was staying with us them days. Okay. It's no more like that. People just fighting against one another. So, I don't know what you will say, and I don't know how you're going to pick out my words for this night that I'm talking. And I'm going to quit right now. And I want to thank you that you can stand up for your right. I like to stand up for my right for the land claim, and I want to keep it for next generation, not for myself. I'll be gone pretty soon, any time, but how about next generation? Us Native people were a generation that was way back, from way back, and on, and going on a long time. Now, what's going to happen? I'm talking about it tonight, and I hope you people that's going to hear me, I hope you can use my words. I hope I don't hurt no other villages. But think about what I say. This is a hard question. Even our president for the United States, our Congress, they can't tell us what we're going to do. But this is the only thing I'm talking about. That I'm glad that I'm talking here before something happened to me. Maybe you could use my words, okay? And that's all I want to say, and God bless every one of you that's going to listen to me in that tape. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. George. Thank you very much.
My name is Alfred Stevens. I was born in Stevens Village. I'm scared to talk too, but I'm really glad that we have a chance to tell the commission how we feel about the land claims. A lot of us still don't understand corporations or the land claims, but we can see that it's not giving us what we expected. For myself, I have a lot of the concerns that Kilburn talked about. What's going to happen to the Indian people born after 1991? It's like those born prior to, 71. Those born prior to 71 have a right to stock, and those afterwards are not entitled to it. The way it was with us before, whoever is born here has equal standing. Now it's different, and it's possible that in the future we could live here, but somebody else will own the land. We might have to pay rent for the land that our forefathers had. I hope that we can find a way to open the roll to whoever is born here, to whoever belongs to Stevens Village. I've heard recently that in some corporations, one quarter of the stock is already out of native hands, and that's pretty scary. I remember talking with my cousins back in the 60s after I graduated from high school, how non-Indians would never want this land. It was only worth something to us. But now, the oil people want it. They want to explore our land. They want to put road in it. And this is real dangerous to our people. Kilburn said that before we didn't exclude non-Indians from being here. And I remember that. Everybody treated each other pretty good. But now we can see that in other communities, when others are allowed to be around, that gradually it becomes a non-native community. I'm glad that I'm from here. I'm glad that we still have we do things as a group. And this really, my real concern with 1991 is how we're going to pass it on to our descendants. Money is pretty tempting, and it's going to take something real strong inside of us, I think, to keep it for our descendants. As it is now, we'll be able to sell the stock. And if anything is found valuable here, it's going to be real tempting to sell. Sometimes we need money in a hurry, and people who deal with money know how to hit people when they're weak. I know I'm talking now, and I know that sometime I might be weak. We all have to watch out for it, and I hope there's a way that we can make it make the stock not for sale and open it up to all of our people who are from this village. I've seen when I was traveling outside, I've seen other native people in cities, and they're like they're lost because they don't have land. They don't have a place to meet like this. They're not around their children. There's nothing. All there are is Indians because that's the way they were born. But they don't live like Indians. They live like others. And it's not satisfying to them. And I wouldn't want to pass that on to our descendants. Our forefathers gave us something good because they worked for it. And I hope everybody says something because this is a chance where where we have to, this is a chance where we have that we can talk about something that most of us feel strongly about. It's hard to get up here and talk, but I hope everybody says something. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
My name is Marjorie Mayo, born and raised in Stevens Village. I have been living in Fairbanks with my family for the last 24 years, but my roots is here. First off, I want to thank you, Mr. Berger, and the ICC for giving us the opportunity to speak our true feelings about the ANSCA. I honestly believe that this ANSCA has to go out the window. It got thrown together so carelessly in such a short time. I have strong feelings about my rights being signed away by a group of people that I don't know, and therefore they couldn't have known me. So how did they decide what was good for me as an Indian living in my own country? I am very proud of who I am, and even prouder that I am not the one that is out taking land away from someone. We are the true owners of the land, and we are not plastic, artificial, or floating on surface looking to uproot someone. What I've got to say is my down-to-earth thoughts and feelings. Those so-called Native leaders that were involved in ANSCA are all making it good. But it has upset a lot of people. A lot of people are still in the dark about what has happened and is still happening. I feel the Native leaders are not my representative, because they don't know my true feelings. They may call themselves Native leaders, but I call them something else. They are only looking at a dollar sign. Stevens Village got tricked into giving the right of way for the pipeline. The U.S. government knows which Natives are turncoats, and so they are the ones that tricked Stevens into giving the right of way. ANSCA has made some of our people to bribe, power hungry and greedy, without any thoughts of their own people or the afterborns. We would be foolish to shut out the afterborns, and that is what ANSCA is all about. Our land means everything to us. What a white man doesn't understand is why we can't just live on 160 acres of land. It means nothing to us. We're a different kind of people. We have different cultures, we have our own language. So therefore, you can't find everything for subsistence living on 160 acres of land for other people, because they have jobs and so on. You can't find all the fur-bearing animals, moose and fish, berries on that 160 acres of land. Our forefathers have roamed all over. They were free to roam. Like Kilburn said, there were non-Indians. Believe it or not, there was some upriver, and there was one white man that felt perfectly safe among Indians. He had a store here. Nobody bothered him. He did his own thing. He had a store. There were some even close by. Well, those white people, they didn't go to Fairbanks to pay, take out the deed on the land. They either died or moved on and, left the land there. Whereas nowadays, people are coming in, all they're looking for is, they don't care who they're stepping on. All they want is to get a piece of paper. They want a deed to their land without any kind of respect or the wishes of the local people. They're thinking of their own selves. Whereas in the past, we lived alongside non-Indians and made it fine. And what land claim did is made people greedy. Like Kilburn George says, people are fighting. Well, that's a fact. There's no denying it. We were believed at the beginning of land claim. It was thrown together. People worked overtime, flying out to D.C. and everything without even so much as stopping to ask me, how did I feel? You know, they never asked me, how do you feel as a person in your own country? They decided what was good for me without even asking me. It's already we are being harassed by pipelines. We are being asked to give easements, give up land for easements. There is the 14C to contend with. And ARCO is on our back with the help of our own regional corporation. And those that consists of Native people. And yet they can go around and call themselves Native leaders, but they are not my representative. To assimilate our people to another culture is not going to work without hurting us Natives. We have, like I say, we have our own culture, we have language. And so who is the other side that decided that we should convert to their culture? Well, we're proud of who we are. We're proud of our culture, just the way they are, just like how they feel about their own. Even the animal must have had some kind of respect for the natives, and the natives do have respect for their land and even the animal. A long time ago, people communicated with some animal, believe it or not. They even knew how to tell time by the skies, looking at the skies, forecasted the weather and all those things. So when a white man first came into this country, they thought that we knew nothing. What they didn't know was that we had our own culture, and our people in the past had their own way of making a living and making it good. And so there's, non-Native has a lot to learn about the Natives before they can even decide what is good for the Native. There are some people that's enrolled in my own corporation that I don't even know. I once had a friend from another country, part Native, that was enrolled in Doyle, and I happened to know that she was not an Alaskan Indian because she was my friend. So, and there are people had to rush into enrolling, and some people enrolled in the wrong place, wrong regions, because they were being told, you, if you enrolled here, you would have better, you would have it better. So what happens is, those people that enrolled out of the state, they somehow made it back to Alaska. And so ASCA itself is not workable. 1991 approaching very rapidly. We only were given 20 years is nothing, especially if you don't know how to run a corporation, and it's everything is new to us. And a lot of people are waiting, sweating out 1991. I've heard that. I was listening to a talk show not too long ago. A non-native got on the phone, radio, saying that she believes that that they would not do it forcefully, but politically take over, right on the radio. Meaning that they can, buy stocks, and therefore we will be losing our land. What is there for us if we lose our land? We will be nobody, we will be nothing, we will have had nothing. There are a lot of young people that's away. One of these days, they're not always going to be away and have it good, but one day, they're going to want to come back. And which land are they going to come back to if our stocks are sold? What we need is a brand new thing. Like I said, the ASCA happened too fast at the expense of the native people. What even hurts more is the natives themselves being involved in uprooting the rest of the natives. I am ashamed of them. I will also talk about the water being unclean. Anytime miners or a group of people want something, well, the natives are in their way, so they turn to the government, knowing the government is going to listen to maybe 10 people against 100 natives, 10 non-natives against 100 natives, and the 10 non-natives will have their way. And what once was a nice clean stream, you can go around in the woods, you can roam around in the country. If you're thirsty, there's some good clean water. That's not so anymore, thanks to the miners. What's happening really is, everything is getting ruined. And I will say that this much. The people are aware of what wrong has happened to them, and is yet to come, even worse, is yet to come. We still laugh and joke together. We're still happy. I think we're strong. And that I will say about my people, and I'm proud of that. Why should we be paying taxes come 1991? Tax on our own land. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Why can't our land grabbers pay us taxes? They have not done so. And now we are being asked to pay taxes on our own land. They gave us little bit of money for what we lost. And that money is nothing. I would like to say this Anska isn't going to work. And if we can do anything about it, it should be extended. Well, if we were real such bad people, there would be all native people living in this country in Alaska. But we let them come in, got along with them, with the exception of some that are too greedy and grabby and not respecting or respecting the wishes of the people that are living here or any of the Alaskan towns.